want to introduce you to an actor named Heath Ledger, L-H. Heath Ledger is part of the reason I am here as your pastor. Heath Ledger died tragically just short of his 30th birthday in January of this year. A very successful actor, if you keep up at all on the entertainment, which I get through Time Magazine and Newsweek and U.S. News and World Report, you will know that he was very popular and had some of the most important roles of late. This young man who was successful and famous, who was rich and had all the stuff he wanted, died of overdose of pills treating insomnia, pills treating anxiety, as well as antihistamines. Those, I understand, antihistamines. And folks, his death was so tragic. When I read this on the internet, I had this overwhelming conviction comes over me. I believe these people who are so famous in our society that unfortunately we worship are dying of guilty consciences. And I thought, Lord, who is ministering to the Heath Ledgers of this world? I mean it. It's a curse to be as famous and as talented or fortunate and lucky, whatever you want to call it, to become a famous Hollywood star. It's a curse, folks. And my heart aches, and I wanted to know, who is ministering to people like him? I had a deep conviction. And the problem is, this is probably the second time in my life it came over me, and I realized, I don't know how to do it. I have no connections in Hollywood. By the way, just to be contemporary, I want you to know this was the last role Heath Ledger played to show you why I feel the way I do. He played the Joker in the current movie smash hit released already called The Dark Knight, where he played a hideous, evil, wicked part. Now, I know that only from what I read, okay? I don't go to movies. Who is ministering to these people? What does these three stories have in common? Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me first to Exodus, the 34th chapter. By the way, do you have your swords? Hold your swords up. Do you have your swords? Amen. I'll tell you, we've got to have this book. Let's wear it out. Look at Exodus 34. Here's a story you're all familiar with. Keep in mind the answer, the question we're looking for, or the answer we're looking for, is what do these three successive stories have in common? For we are trying to find out the real power of God. Exodus 34, and I'm going to actually, I believe it's Exodus 33, am I not right? And we're going to start with verse 18 and go through 34. Here's what it says, verse 18 of 33. Everybody have it? Then Moses said, I pray, God, show me your glory. And God said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. You shall stand there in the rock, and I will come about while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. And then I will take my hand away, and you will see my back, but my face you will not see. Now, go to verse, I want to go to verse 34, verse 4. So Moses cut out two stone tablets like the former ones, and Moses rose up early in the morning and went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took two stone tablets in his hand, and the Lord descended on the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord. And then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed his name. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin, yet He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquities on the fathers of the fathers, on the children and the grandchildren, to the third and fourth generation. This is the first story we're going to look at, and now we're going to compare it with the story in Numbers. Please keep in mind the title of the sermon is The Real Power of God, and we are trying to see what all three of these stories have in common, which will tell us the real power of God. Now go to Numbers chapter 14 and let's look at verses 11 through 18. And hopefully I'm just underlying for you something you've already discovered on your own, and if not, you'll be excited to hear this. Under chapter 14, my Bible says the people rebel, but we're going to pick up the story in verse number 11. And the Lord said to Moses, "How long will this people spurn me? And how long will they not believe in me, despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst?" Do you know the context of number 14? Do you know that after God had done all these miracles for the Israelites and led them out of Egypt, and by the way, they get to their first test, and they flunk it royally, and God parts the Red Sea, right? And then they finally cross over another miracle in front of their very eyes. They get to the other side, and a short while later, they're thirsty. And they begin to complain and grumble and want to go back again. After all those miracles. So what does God do? He fixes the water so they can drink it. Brothers and sisters, on and on this story goes. And finally, they now send out 12 spies into the land. They come back with the report of how wonderful it is. And then 10 of them say, "But we can't take the land over." And here we are, God is portraying Himself as livid as I can get when I lose my temper, which is a sin, by the way. "Moses, how long will I have to continue to deal with these people?" Verse 12. "I will smite them with pestilence. I will dispose them. I will make you into a nation greater and mightier than they." But Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for by thy strength thou did bring them this people from their midst. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of the land. They have heard that thou, O Lord, art in the midst of the people, for thou, O Lord, art seen eye to eye, while thy cloud stands over them, and thou dost go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou dost slay this people as one man, then the nations whom have heard of thy fame will say, because the Lord could not bring this people into the land which He promised them by oath, therefore He slaughtered them in the wilderness." But now, Moses said, "I pray, let the power of God be great, just as you have declared." The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, but He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. The third story is found in Luke number 5. Are you starting to get a clue at what the real power of God is? Luke 5. Children, listen so you can answer the question. We have an incredible God that we worship. Amen? Yeah. Luke, the fifth chapter, we'll start with verse 17. And it came about one day that he was teaching, and while there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And behold, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and set him down in front of him. And not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and they let him through the tiles with his stretcher right in the center in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, Jesus said, "What? Your sins are forgiven." And I went, "Wait a minute, Jesus, what is going on here? This man didn't come asking for forgiveness of sin. What did he come seeking? Healing." What did Jesus say? "Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven." Let's recap. Let's go back to Exodus 34. "And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions and sins.'" Brothers and sisters, if you were God and you were going to declare your name, would you use those terms for the description? In other words, God said, when you think of me, think of merciful, gracious, long-suffering, goodness, truth, mercy, forgiving. The real power of God. The real power that we must experience. That everybody needs to experience, including the Heath Ledgers out there. "And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, 'The Lord is long-suffering, abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, but He will in no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the fathers and the children unto the third and fourth generation.'" In this time of crisis, Moses claimed a promise. Where did that come from? Where did that phrase come from? The Lord. The Lord said, "Here's my name." And Moses says, "Okay, I'm going to put it right back on you. If that's your name, then save these people. Forgive them even though they don't deserve it." And folks, I want to tell you, I got chills up and down my spine. If anybody didn't deserve forgiveness, it was the Israelites. I want you to go back to the very beginning of the book of Genesis and count the miracles, one after another, that God performed in their behalf. This is way down the road, and they are still complaining. They are still doubting. They are still murmuring. They are still saying, "Let's go back to Egypt." By the way, who do they sound like? Us. Me? Yeah. It's true. It's tragic, but it's true. And what did he say in Luke? "When he saw their faith, he said, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.'" What do these three stories have in common? You're scared, aren't you? All three of these stories are about God's mercy and forgiveness. Am I right? By the way, I am so stirred, Marlis, because Moses shows us how to intercede. He interceded for the people, not for himself. In fact, did you hear what God said? I'm going to make you a great nation. You know, that means he could be king. Right? He said, no. Do you know why he said no? Folks, do you think he was afraid to be king? He said no because he knew the character of God. He knew this was a test to see if Moses really was faithful to the calling and the character of God. God's character is, I forgive you if you ask me, even though you don't deserve it. And he claimed a promise in behalf of people who constantly harassed him, hounded him, ridiculed him, mocked him. Am I right? What do these three stories have in common? The answer is they are all about God's mercy and forgiveness. Number two, what is the real power of God? God's mercy and forgiveness. That's the real power of God. That's the real power. That's more important than the healing, folks. You see, that's exactly... Well, I'm going to get into that in a second. But that's exactly why he looked at that young man and said, your sins are forgiven. You know, you read your Desire of Ages. He was the only one in the room that was satisfied. Did you know that? Oh, man, haven't you read your Desire of Ages? I'll talk about that in 2 weeks. That book says that that man laid back for the first time in years with peace in his heart. And he forgot all about the physical healing because the problem wasn't his physical ailment. What does this have to do with Heath Ledger? God's mercy and forgiveness, folks. Watch this. I've got a challenge for you. The paralytic found in Christ, healing for both the soul and the body. The spiritual healing was followed by physical restoration. This lesson should not be overlooked. There are today thousands suffering from physical diseases who, like the paralytic, are longing for the message, thy sins are forgiven. The burden of sin with its unrest and unsatisfied desires is the foundation of their sickness, maladies. They can find no relief until they come to the healer of the soul. The peace which he alone can give would impart vigor to the mind and health to the body. What does this have to do with Heath Ledger? Shortly after I learned of his death, a couple months later, I made some contacts because I was looking for a pastor to hire in Indiana. And I happened to call a pastor in Las Vegas. And I interviewed him. And when I got done with the interview, I then called the conference president for a reference. And it was in that process that I heard about, indirectly, a church called the Paradise Church. I heard that it was a congregation of about 350. I heard that they just built a new sanctuary. I heard that they downlinked 3ABN. And I believe that's all I heard about the church. So sometime in March, I get on a plane. I'm in meetings in Orlando, and I get on a plane to fly and interview a pastor in New Mexico. And folks, when I get on a plane, I pray. And I want you to know that because I'm scared. And I pray. It always brings me peace. And often the quietness and the loneliness I feel on the plane, even with people sitting next to me, I close my eyes and I begin to pray. I pray for the taxiing. I pray for the takeoff. I pray for the flight. And I pray for the landing. And sometime it is so peaceful, I continue to pray. And this particular day I did. And all of a sudden, in that prayer, the Lord said to me, here is where you can do ministry. And I had just hung up the phone 1 hour earlier of your ex-conference president where I had just got the reference, got on the airplane, and when God said, here is where you can do ministry, I immediately knew the here was the Paradise Church, and ministry was ministering to people who need the ministry of Christ, like Heath, like you and I, that need spiritual healing, not just physical healing. And He said, here is where you can do it. He did not say, they need you, you're the Savior of that church. He said, these are the people where you can go and do that ministry. And folks, I was an administrator in a conference. The minute He said that to me, I knew where I had to go. He told me this was the church. And so I'll tell you what He spoke to me fairly recently. On Wednesday nights, we're having prayer meeting right in this room at 7 o'clock. And we are going to start out with a beautiful song service, just like I experienced last Wednesday in that other room there. And then when we're done with that song service, we're going to take a scripture, put it on the screen, and we're going to memorize it, and we're going to see what thought God put in it for us and share it with one another. Then we're going to have a study, and then we're going to have a time of prayer. And once a month, I want you, and we'll tell you when it is, to start bringing your friends and your neighbors and your fellow workers to this sanctuary who need prayer. If they're having a hard time with their marriage, if they're out of work, if their kids are doing drugs, if they're lonely, depressed, drug addicts, I don't care. God said, here is where we can do ministry. And we can do it on Wednesday nights. And I'll tell you, you can still get out the door at 8 o'clock. But you're the one that have to bring the people. You have to find the Heath Ledgers. You've got to say, you know, I can't believe what you're going through. By the way, this coming Wednesday, our church has a special prayer meeting that's short. But at the end of it, we highlight the cares and concerns of anybody. And we will pray for you on this particular issue. We won't embarrass you in front of anybody. We will actually meet in a small group and pray for your situation. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you. God said, here's where you can do ministry. This was no joke. I mean, folks, ask my wife. We're uprooted from a beautiful home, a beautiful setting. I'm an administrator. One son's going to Southern. That's only 7 hours away. The other's going to Andrews. That's only 2.5 hours away. And all of a sudden, we are in Las Vegas. Sweating. By the way, not as bad as Indiana where it's humid, okay? I am so excited to be here because God would have never said that to me if you weren't the right people. And I'm going to start on Wednesday night if I'm the only person here. And I guarantee if you don't come, folks, a month, 2 months down the road, this place will be packed and you're going to be left out. I'm serious. Why? People are looking for this kind of ministry. We've got to reach the Heath Ledgers. Now, sure, it may not be a famous person you're going to bring in here. But you know what? To God, that's a famous person. So we're going to start on Wednesday nights. Every time church is over, we're going to stand up here. You know, I'll shake hands with Jenny. We like doing that. But if anybody wants to pray about anything, you linger. We're going to come right back in here and pray. And sometimes I won't go there and shake your hand. Because if people need ministry, we're going to stay right here. And by the way, if you wonder how I can do it, I do this kind of thing every morning where the Lord beats me up and puts me back together again so I can come and do it for you. So don't think that I'm above you. Here is where you can do ministry. And I want to do that ministry here. I want you to pray about what I'm saying. In fact, at the end of this sermon, I'm going to have a call. I'm going to ask you to do something very specific. But before I do, I want to ask the children now. Children, watch. What one word describes the real power of God, children? One word. Do you hear all the children? They're just like the adults. Children, don't be like the adults. Okay, I'll show you. Watch. See if you were right. You ready? Children? Here we go. What is it? Forgiveness. The true power of God is forgiveness. Notice what he said in Luke 5. After he said, your sins are forgiven, you remember the scribes and Pharisees were very upset. And they started to say, how dare this man blaspheme? For no one can forgive sin except... And Jesus said, so that you will know that I have. Watch. But that you may know that the Son of Man has what? Power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say unto you, take up your bed and walk. The power of God on earth is first and foremost the forgiveness of sin. We must experience it on a daily basis, but especially corporately on Wednesday nights, midweek, and also Sabbath mornings right here. And we need to bring our friends and neighbors who desperately need prayer. Not to be criticized, condemned, argued with, accused. Not to be embarrassed in front of anybody. You say, Pastor, this person is very shy. Please don't let them know that anybody know that you're going to pray. And I'll say, fine, we'll go to a back room or we'll sit in the corner, but we'll pray. We'll pray, folks. And when the time is right, you know what else we'll do? We're going to anoint them with oil. Just the way it says in the Bible. Why are we limping around with our weaknesses, our sores, our bruises, our addictions, our cultivated and hereditary traits? When God says, if any of you are weak, not just sick, but weak, meaning weak physically or weak mentally or weak spiritually, call for the elders of the church. By the way, elders, you know what that means? You better have your act right with God. Because if they're going to be calling us to come, we better be forgiven up. Right? Paid up, forgiven up. Because we're here to do ministry. And Jesus said, I have power on earth to forgive sins. So while you're pondering these thoughts, I want you to take your hymnal, we're going to sing our closing hymn. When we get to the last verse of that hymn, I want you to come forward for three reasons. Number one, while we're singing that closing hymn, if you would like forgiveness from God, you don't have to say a word, you just come forward, and when I have the closing prayer, I will include that in my prayer. Number two, if there's someone you need to forgive that you're having a hard time forgiving. By the way, in the Lord's Prayer, where's the first time that Jesus recited the Lord's Prayer in the Bible? The first time was the Mount of Blessings. And do you notice the very next two verses right after the Lord's Prayer? It says, Amen. Then it says, if any of you do not forgive others for the sins they do against you, He will not forgive you. Number one, if you want forgiveness, come forward during the closing, the last verse of the closing hymn. Number two, if there's somebody you need power or strength or courage to forgive and even tell them so, come forward. And number three, those of you who are saying, you know, I really should go to prayer meeting, but every Wednesday I'm too tired, too lazy, too this, I'm too that. You might even have a favorite TV program. Have mercy. I want you to come forward for that. And notice, no one will know why you're coming forward. And we will have a special prayer together. Because God said to me and to Jenny, here is where you can do ministry.